Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. Episode 242 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast is here and ready to be kicked off. What an amazing weekend we had in Magic with the World Championship. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Before we dive into that, I want to say thank you so much for the patrons for supporting the show. Because of you, you make everything possible. And I want to announce the winner of the September giveaway for the patrons. It is Chiri Alagrucci. Thank you so much for your support. I love having you as a patron. I love playing with you in the leagues. I know that we've been able to play before, and it's absolutely a blast interacting with you, and thank you so much for your support. So you'll be getting an Ixalan bundle sent your way. Compliments of Paragon City Games, the other sponsor of the show. Thank you so much, Paragon City Games, for your support as well. So, patrons and Paragon City Games, you mean the world to me. And if you are interested in becoming a patron and winning some sweet Magic swag like Chiri just did, go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can choose to pledge any amount you want per episode, and then set a monthly limit so you never go out of budget. Patreon is just a really cool way to give back to the creators that you like. If you find any value in this show, if you've been able to improve your game or have enjoyed connecting with the guests that we bring on here and learning from them, and you're looking for a way to give back, then Patreon is one way that you can do that. So mtgpro2.com/Patreon is where you can go and do that. Now, as I mentioned, over the weekend, we had the World Championship. And congratulations, a huge congratulations to Huey Jensen, who took it down, who won the tournament. What a great honor for him. A fantastic player, really nice guy. And it's just really awesome to see him do so well and to get this high honor. This World Championship 2017 title is well deserved by Huey, so congratulations. And I also want to mention Javier Dominguez, past guest of the show, coming in second. How cool is that? A finalist in the World Championship. It's so cool connecting with Javier on his episode when he was kind of up and coming in Magic, and now look at him. He's doing well in Grand Prix. He's a finalist in the championship. He's a finalist in the World Championship. Like, that is so cool that he's doing so well. So congratulations to him. And then Josh Utter-Layton made third, and Kelvin Chu made fourth. So congratulations to all those players. What a fantastic weekend. What a great event. I just think that the World Championship is pretty cool. So absolutely love doing that. Now, we have a really special guest lined up for you today. Someone who falls in the community notables camp as a popular streamer and a fellow prodigy. I'm really excited to bring you our guest today. So let's dive right into the interview and learn more about him. What's up, everybody? I'm super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest has one of the largest Magic the Gathering Twitch channels and has over 8,000 followers. He has two Star City Games top eights and travels to various tournaments around the world as he strives to make it onto the Pro Tour. Coming to us from Manchester, Connecticut, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Sam Rubin. Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Excellent. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Of course.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Sam, you can do so on Twitter. He's at SamBall49. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitch. What is your Twitch channel there, Sam?
Everything is SamBall49. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch.
Excellent. Twitch.tv/SamBall49. So, Sam, Let's learn about what you have going on. You know, is Magic all you do, or are you working, or what do you have in your life?
Okay, so I own my own like marketing company, and I do like websites and like Google AdWords type stuff. And so from there, it's like just very easy for me to parlay that into playing Magic a lot because I'm like always at my computer anyways. And beyond that, like I kind of get to work on my own schedule. So like I can do work at 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. It doesn't really matter to me.
Right.
So being able to flow like that really allows me to like play way more Magic than I probably should. but yeah, that's how I'm able to do that kind of.
Excellent. So you have your own company that you run. And so that gives you the flexibility that you need to play Magic as much as you want, which is really great because you're able to dedicate time into the Twitch channel. And you've been growing that, you know, fantastically over the last several months. And so that's part of the reason why we brought you on, because, you know, we say here on the show that we bring on, you know, the top players in the world and also community notables and those who are making a name for themselves and doing well. And as one of the bigger streamers in the space, we definitely wanted to highlight you and what you have going on. So tell us, how did you even decide, hey, I want to do this whole Twitch thing? And then how has your growth been? What's that been like?
All right. So you're not going to believe this. I don't know if you remember or not, but like 3.5 years ago, you were canvassing the show, if you remember, and I was like one of the people you had on to like practice.
I do. Do you remember this? Yeah, okay. I did a practice interview with you.
Yeah. I don't know how many of these you did, but you did a practice interview with me. Back then, I had like thought about Twitch because I was like, I really like playing Magic. I enjoyed doing YouTube videos. I like enjoyed writing a little bit. But I just never got it going for whatever reason. There was a lot of like circumstantial stuff that was happening with where I was and who I was with and whatever. But so I don't know. I started up YouTube about 10 months ago at this point. And my plan was just to do draft videos on YouTube. I quickly found out that was a terrible plan and I was never going to get like a lot of viewers that way. And then I found out that Twitch wasn't going to be any better because there's so much competition in the draft space. So I started playing Standard and I literally went from like 20 viewers to 100 viewers overnight playing Standard. And then it just kind of grown from there. I kind of carved out a time spot that, you know, the other big streamers aren't streaming in so that I have like my own niche time slot. I do 24-hour streams like almost twice a month. Which most other streamers don't do. I don't know. I'm coming at it from a different angle. I'm not the best player on Twitch. Honestly, probably from like the top 5 to 10 streamers, I am the worst player and it's by miles. But I'm like one of the only ones that plays music. I'm like probably hopefully more entertaining than them. I do a few cool things on stream. I do some giveaways. I try to interact more with my community than them.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where I find my edge, but yeah, the growth's been insane. I think we're like, I don't know, let's say 120 days in, started like in April or so, or late April. So like 120 days in. And yeah, I mean, it's insane.
That's great. And thank you for reminding me. I only did like 5 or so of those test interviews. And yeah. I still have those files here on my computer. That's pretty fun. Yeah, that was back when I was, I wanted to do this podcast. I knew I was going to do it, but I wanted to work out my question flow and just kind of get used to the setup and everything. And so, that's funny. That's funny that that was, I guess, right around 2.5 years ago, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Good. We've both come on a long journey since then. So that's pretty cool.
For sure.
So we'd love to hear the origin story of our guest. So tell us. So we just learned about, you're starting on Twitch, but take us back in time and tell us your origin story with Magic. When was the first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards?
Oh, so my cousins, I live in a big family. There's like 12 cousins or whatever, like 12 of us. And like 4 of them used to play Magic all the time. And so they introduced me to this card game at like a super young age. Maybe I was like 7 or 8 when I first saw the cards, but I had like no idea what they did. They were too complicated for me. I wasn't super interested. I'd much rather like go outside and play sports. And so I like had played with them vaguely and I had kind of known what like real strategy was, so to speak, because they were like very, very smart. And so that gave me sort of an edge when I started really getting into it, but I really didn't play again until my freshman year of college. And a bunch of friends like picked up the game and they were playing and we went to a card store and we started playing. And then kind of like my instinct to like be competitive and want to be very good at things kind of took over. And then I was just like, I was just off to the races after that.
Did you remember what that very first set that you ever saw was?
Not the very first set I ever saw. The very first set I started playing with in college was Return to Ravnica. But I believe the first set I ever owned cards from, my mom bought me 2 8th edition starter decks. And so, yeah, that was way back in 8th edition. But like, I had no idea what they did. Like, I barely knew how to play. So,
what's been your favorite set?
Wow. So, like, the closest to my heart has always been Gatecrash, because that was like really the first set where like I knew what I was doing. I did well in a few tournaments, but that's like not a very good set for drafting or whatever. Like it's just not very exciting. So my favorite set for like limited and whatever is probably like the Khans of Tarkir set. I really enjoyed the morphs. I really enjoyed all the like, I really enjoyed the morphs. I really enjoyed the tempo of the format. I enjoyed how you could play like an aggro control mid-range game plan. I enjoyed all the fixing, which allowed you to splash stuff. But yeah, I mean, the closest to my heart is like the first set I started with, basically, that's Gatecrash. And I don't know if that's the same for everybody else you interview. I don't know what the deal is there. I'd imagine there's kind of a correlation between like your first set and your favorite, but I don't know.
Not all the time. Some people do gravitate back towards the nostalgic, and some people pick one, like you said, they say, oh, my favorite limited set or whatever, based on what they're good at and whatnot. So along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
Oh, so when I first started, like, as we kind of talked about, I first started thinking about Twitch streaming like 2.5 years ago ish. And I paid someone to build me an overlay for my Twitch stream. Mm-hmm. I never used it, so it was just a waste of money. But like I went for it. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it well. And they built the overlay around the card Veteran Motorist, which I don't know if you know, but it's like a 3/2 for one white, one red. So it's 2 mana for a 3/2. It's from Gatecrash. And if attacks, and if you have Battalion, which is 3 or more attacking creatures, it gets first strike. And I just really like this card. I loved being aggressive. It was like one of my favorite cards. And so that's always my answer for favorite card. It's not like a very good card or anything. Again, it just somehow like hits the nostalgia bone for me, and it's very good.
Is it Veteran Motorist from Kaladesh?
No, it's from Gatecrash.
Oh, which one am I thinking from Kaladesh then? I thought Veteran Motorist was one that gave vehicles or gave other dwarves a plus or something.
No.
Perhaps.
You're not talking about Pilot Exemplar, are you?
Maybe I am. I thought I just... Veteran, let's be schooled in the ways of magic here. So, well, let's see. Veteran Motorist.
Oh, is it? It is.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the wrong card.
Yeah, Veteran Motorist is the 3/1 with Scry 2 and Enter the Battlefield. And
you know what card I'm thinking of?
Which one?
Wojek Halberdiers.
Ah, okay.
That's the card I'm thinking of. Because they're both white and red and like 3 power creatures, whatever. I got super confused there for a second.
Wojek Halberdiers.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, okay, yeah. And this is also a red-white. It's also, it's a 3/2. It is from Gatecrash. Okay, so Battalion, first strike at the end of turn. Okay, cool. Nice. And so the your original overlay was built around this?
Yeah, my original overlay was... Like the background of my overlay was like this card, and then the person had cut out the 2 characters with the swords.
Yeah.
And so I like kind of hyperimposed those on top of my screen, like in the corner.
Cool.
And then I had my face cam in the chat. So that was like the OG overlay. I used it for like 3 Twitch streams and that was it. So it was a great use of my time and money. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's so fun. I love the nostalgic connection that you have, you know, with Magic, going back to Gatecrash as one of your favorite sets and Wojek Halberdiers as one of your favorite cards. So that's pretty fun. Now, as you started taking Magic more seriously, what was an early challenge that you faced, but that you eventually overcame?
Oh, not my friends not wanting to play competitively.
How so?
The instant I stepped inside a Magic tournament, like as soon as it happened, I was like, I can't play casual. I can't play 8-player EDH that takes 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I have to like be sitting across somebody with a chess clock, playing competitively, trying to rip their faces out, like trying to win $1 billion. I have to be. And that's just been how I most enjoy Magic my entire life.
And your friends were like that. They wanted to do the 8-player sit around forever.
Right. So that was like my first Friday FNM. We went to a draft. I kind of realized very quickly what I wanted to do. Within like a few weeks, I was like playing SCGs. Hmm. Like I came back to the game. I didn't really know how to play. I knew like basic rules from when I was like 10 years old. And instantly I was playing SCGs. Like that's just how much I dove into the competitive scene. And my friends wanted to like I would have my standard deck. They each would have decks that like were standard, I guess. And we would sit around and they wanted to play like a 5-player, you know, free for all, except their rules would be different. Like each player would have 30 life and you would be able to play 2 lands on your second turn. And like, I don't know. And I just wanted none of it.
Yeah. So what did you do to move past that? How'd you overcome that challenge?
Oh, I lost a lot of money playing Modo.
Okay. Okay.
that's pretty much it, right? Like if you have nobody near you, if you have nobody in your immediate vicinity to test with, and like it's not like my friends even had the resources for cards, so they didn't really even have tier 1 standard decks, and they weren't tier 1 limited players for sure. And maybe if they were tier 1 standard players, I could have like we could have proxied decks and done that whole thing fine. But yeah, they weren't great players. And so what I ended up having to do was just play a lot of MTGO, a lot of Magic the Gathering Online. I had a shop near me. I even had one friend that was like fairly competitive, but they just didn't play enough. And I just, you know, I was playing literally like probably 25 to 30 hours a week in college as soon as I realized what Magic was again. And so I was just quickly outpacing everyone around me who even kind of had that competitive spark. I was just like quickly outpacing them, learning the game much faster than them. But yeah, it was really tough. Like a college kid, you know, I put some money on, I like wanted to draft, and you know, you're just like getting crushed. You're like timing out. It's just miserable, you know?
Yeah, but hey, you have to start somewhere, right? You have to learn the platform.
You gotta do something.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't know. It was an experience that definitely has helped me now. Mm-hmm. Like I almost never time out anymore. I'm very proficient at Magic Online. It's one of the reasons I'm a decent streamer is because like I can like use the hotkeys and not worry about like all the phases and whatever.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps you learn the game, right? When you go to a tournament and you're like, oh, this is my beginning of combat step. This is my end of combat step. There's a step where there's damage in the middle. Like mm-hmm. when you're able to identify all those things, it gives you an edge playing the game in real life. So that definitely did help me get better. And also the competition on MTGO is just so good.
Hmm, cool. So what have been some of your milestones along the way? So very quickly, you dove into the competitive scene. And what have been some of the highlights that you've experienced?
There or just like in my Magic journey?
In your Magic journey.
So, yeah, the first milestone was like getting a check after winning a Magic tournament. That was just huge. I remember I was in Albany. It was the same year. It was during Theros. So it was about two and a half months after I started. I pick up cards. I'm at a tournament literally 2.5 months later. And I was 5-3, and these were back when SCGs were one-day tournaments, and this is a 9-rounder on day one. And I was 5-3, and I had to win the last match, go 6-3 to cash to make money, and I totally punted. There was a situation where I could have gained life and stabilized against a control deck when I had cards in hand, and I went for the risky play and attack to try to end the game sooner, and my opponent, like, had double bolt to kill me or something. And I was just miserable. And I had changed up decks. I was like, I don't want to play this deck anymore. I like started playing a red deck. I went to a local or like a tournament that was being hosted by a local game store that was actually a 5K. So it was a big tournament, like just as much money as like the SCG basically. And I just like ripped through the Swiss. I was like 5-0, 6-0, 6-1. And then like in the top eight, I lost or whatever. But I just remember the feeling of like having that money in my hands, just being like, okay, you know what? We lost 2 weeks ago. It doesn't even matter anymore. We like did it. We're good enough. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I remember that feeling being awesome.
That's cool. So getting your first check after a Magic event, that's a really sweet milestone. Any others stand out?
Yeah. Getting my first check after a Magic event and getting 100 viewers on Twitch was just incredible for me. Cause I just remember looking at people like, I watched Twitch, obviously. Like, I watched a lot of Twitch to get better. This is another thing that I did to get better in the early days is, like, I would watch a lot of people on Twitch and YouTube, and I would just try to absorb as much as I could. But I remember looking at people and being like, oh, this guy, like, does it. This is, like, his job, and he's getting, like, 300 viewers or something. What if I could just get 100? And then as soon as I got 100, I was like, there's no way this is going to last. I'm not this good. Like, I'm not going to keep 100 viewers. You know, similar to my thoughts after I, like, punted my way out of cashing an SCG for the first time. I was like, this is just a mistake. You know, I wasn't supposed to be this close. I'm not this good, whatever. And then, you know, it happened again and again and again and again. And then at some point it hit me like, oh my God, like I actually have 100 viewers. I can sign on and there's like 70 people in my Twitch chat waiting for me to be there. I don't know. It was a little crazy.
That's cool, man. That's really fun. You know, when you have those mental shifts and you realize, oh, it's not a fluke, you know?
No, like we didn't do it by accident.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel similarly with the growth of, you know, the podcast when it was, you know, starting out. It's like, oh man, like, the next month it's going to crash and like all the listeners are going to go away and it doesn't. And you're like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and then eventually you're sitting there and you're thinking about it differently and you're like, oh yeah. Okay. I used to think about it this way and now I'm like confident and happy with it and whatever.
Right. And I love, especially in the content creation space, which we're both in, like it's so neat because like we look at those viewer numbers and whatnot, but the cool thing is like, there's people on the other end there, you know, like that actually like watching you and wanting to learn from you, that are actually, you know, pushing play and listening to the show. And it's so cool to be able to connect with them, you know, whether through the podcast or through your Twitch channel, and you're able to connect with, you know, a real human being and interact in the form of, or through the medium of magic. And this is a really fun way to bring people together and to, you know, realize that, hey, like there's something that we can do to help these people get better. And it's just so much fun. So.
Yeah, and you know this from having the Facebook page, but like just being able, I don't know, like the one time a day or whatever when someone tells me like this morning it happened. I was streaming. I was in the middle of a 15-hour stream this morning, and someone came by and was like, "Hey, I haven't been able to catch your stream in a while, but I really missed watching you. I'm so happy like my schedule is back to normal that I can watch you every morning again." It just means the world whenever that happens. And I'm sure it's the same for you, but like that combined with the like, oh my God, look, I have so many viewers thing is just like such a mental hurdle to get over. It really like puts you in a great mental space for like creating more content.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. The Facebook group partially came out of because, you know, I wanted a way to be able to talk to and interact with, you know, the listeners. Obviously that's built into the Twitch form of creating content. So but yeah, whenever I get an email that says, "Oh, thanks so much for the show, keep it up," then it's like, okay, this is cool.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Even it's almost like in those situations, even if everybody else melted away and I just had like the 20 people watching me that, you know,
said you made a difference. Yeah,
right. That said that they watch me every morning, or I made them better at magic, or I helped them win a whatever it is, FNM, yeah. And you know, it doesn't even matter how big or small the tournament is, but everyone that said something nice to me, I would still stream for those people just because the community was so good, you know?
Exactly. Like, you know, I've tried, you know, different things with, you know, MTG Pro Tutor and whatnot, and they haven't all, you know, panned out as far as, you know, putting together like, you know, courses or trainings or whatever. But I keep the podcast going because of that, you know, because, you know, this is a free way for me to put stuff out there, connect players with those who they look up to. And, you know, again, we get those messages, those emails. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep this going because I know it's, you know, I know it's useful to people out there. So that's really fun.
100%.
So Sam, who have been your magic mentors? Who do you look up to? Either people that you know personally or that you admire from afar?
So the first game store I went to once I like got back into magic, obviously, was a game store called Get Some Game in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the person there that I know very well is Phil, but he is the son of the owner. So he like kind of owns the place as well, obviously. And he's a little older than me. So he definitely has like ownership responsibilities with the business. But he was the first person to like, he would like loan me cards. Like I remember I was trying to go to some tournament and I was like scrapping for cards. I was like, "Hey, do you have any of these? Do you have any of these?" And he was like, no. And then he had to like, he was actually the person driving me to and from the card shop, I remember, because I was like a broke college kid without a car, obviously. And he just like waited till I'm sure I can tell the story, it doesn't matter. But like, he just waited till like the, you know, everyone left, he shut down the store, and then he just like loaned me the cards from like the store's inventory or something. It was just insane. And so he was just like super incredible to me the entire time I was learning to play Magic. We'd go to tournaments together. We actually top eighted an SCG together in a team event. So he was just like a huge reason why I'm like playing competitive Magic and happy with it.
Awesome.
But yeah, it was mostly him. And then like the person online, and this is probably a controversial answer, but I'm just going to tell the truth because there's no reason not to. But Travis Wu, like 2.5 years ago, was streaming and mostly drafts and limited, but a little standard, mostly drafts and limited when I was watching him. And he used to stream every single night very late. And obviously as a college kid, I was always up very late. So if I wanted to watch somebody, I was watching him. And so combination with like learning from him, and I wasn't really ever part of his community, but watching his draft videos, kind of learning how he plays in combination with like having somebody in real life to show me the ropes was like a real, you know, that's kind of what got me here.
Yeah. Excellent. And, you know, we've had Travis on the show after his comeback earlier last year.
Yeah. Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback.
No, right. It's from a song.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, you know, when he made top 8 of the Grand Prix and stuff like that. So, Yeah, I mean, as far as Magic deck building and playing Magic goes, he's a really good player. So I definitely, definitely credit him for that. So that's awesome. So great. So yeah, people that, again, that you admire from afar, that you played played with in real life, that's really neat to hear and see who has shaped us along the way and acknowledge us. That's really neat. So anything in particular that either Phil or Travis said that stuck with you, like, you know, advice that just was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense? Or was it just kind of the overall absorbing and being around them?
It was a little bit of both, to be honest. One of the things I remember, so I don't know if you could tell from my answer earlier when we were talking about Twitch, but I'm like fairly pessimistic when it comes to my own strengths and abilities in general. You know, with Twitch, when I first got 100 viewers, I was like, no, this can't last. And I mean, I'm a fairly pessimistic person. There'll be like board states where I'm like clearly ahead and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose. And maybe that kind of helps me because then I like plan around the worst and able to like win games and whatever. But this used to be significantly worse than it is now. I think it sort of stems from self-confidence as well. Mm-hmm. But I remember two things about at least interacting with Phil in person was that one time we were at a store and we were talking about like what he would do with his life, why he doesn't play more competitive Magic or paper Magic or whatever. And he was just like, well, if I could play heads up matches for $50 each or whatever, I would play more paper Magic. And just like the confidence knowing that he was good enough to like win enough to like make money in that ordeal were just insane to me. I remember like laughing it off, thinking he was not serious. But then we were at a tournament, I think it was a PTQ, and he lost the first round, and immediately his reaction was just like, okay, I'm just in the Dream Crush bracket. Like, he's just going to go, he's going to beat all these X1s, now they're going to have no chance of top 8, and he's going to get there. And that mentality combined with, I mean, you've talked to Travis, you've had him on the show, he's obviously a very confident guy as well, and just like their confidence kind of has inspired me to be more confident in my Magic play, which is of course like really helped me.
Yeah, that's really cool. And what would you say the balance is between, you say, oh, I'm fairly pessimistic, but then like the extreme other side is you're overconfident and cocky and whatnot. And so how have you been able to find a balance between, you know, being too confident and your pessimism?
Oh, I haven't done a good job.
Oh, you still working on that?
Oh yeah. 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 Like, in life, it's different a little bit than it is from Magic, but I think it has a lot to do with like my pursuits in general. So because Magic and streaming is such a big part of my life at this point and something I'm doing all the time and like putting my heart and soul to, for whatever reason, I just have like a very pessimistic outlook. You know, if I have a bad day streaming, I'll be like, oh, I'm terrible. If I have like a, you know, sometimes I'll go into a Magic tournament, I'll have to catch myself. I'll be like, I can't win this tournament. I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. When that's just not true. So, it's something that I really struggle with. It's probably the weakest aspect of my game, for sure, is the mental side. And I don't really know why, and maybe that's because I'm still, like, sort of young, and I'll grow out of it, or I have to do something to get over it. But I feel like the best Magic players are, like, 88% confidence and, like, 12% pessimism, you know, like, if they're winning, they're still going to be like, okay, I could lose if this happens, or I remember this time that I lost and it sucked and this is what happened and this is how I fix it. Mm-hmm. But they're always going to get back to like, I'm better than this person. I know I can win. Let me just play my best Magic. And I feel like I'm at like 50-50. So I still have a long way to go.
How do you handle losses?
Very well.
Okay.
Maybe it's because, as we just talked about, I unfairly expect them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that also comes from playing poker for a living for a little while, but it's just, oh, I lost. Okay. I think I'm fairly adept at being able to examine the game and either be like, this is because it was a bad matchup. This is because I drew too many lands. This is because I got a little unlucky here and they drew their perfect sideboard card and I didn't draw mine. Or I had a chance to attack for one damage on turn three and they would have blocked and that would have changed the course of the game. So I think I'm fairly adept at being able to see all those things. If I'm a little biased towards not blaming myself more, I don't think it's because I'm afraid to blame myself in any way. I think it's because I might not be good enough at the game to see the line that I missed. Mm-hmm. That definitely happens a lot on stream. I don't know if it happens as much off stream. But yeah, so, you know, I'm still trying to work on it, but that's kind of where it permeates the most.
Yeah, I was curious because, you know, many players that who take losses really hard, you know, they eventually learn, hey, to, you know, kind of level out, you know, it's a game, have a longer perspective, and understand that, you know, this one loss, you know, just play this one game and don't let past ones affect you and whatnot. And this one loss isn't the end of the world type of thing. And so for a player like you coming at it kind of from the other side, where you're kind of coming up to that level as opposed to having to go back down to level, I was interested how it was for you. And like you said, you take them very well and you're able to handle those losses. So at least you have that part down, which is a huge part, because many players, you know, struggle on the other end, thinking that they deserve a win and then take it losses really hard because they feel like they, you know, are missing the mark, as opposed to you, where it's the other way, where you kind of don't feel like you deserve the win. And so the losses come and it's like, okay, well, what can I learn from it, as opposed to the other way around? So very interesting how, you know, players are at different levels and different places along the path. So
for sure. And that kind of goes back to something that people talk about a lot, which is just like knowing your strengths. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are like 7 to 10 things at Magic that you can be good at or bad at. And you're not going to, unless you're, you know, the greatest player in the world and on the Pro Tour, you're not going to be good at all of them. Right. So, you know, taking losses and examining things honestly is something I'm good at. Maybe having confidence is not something I'm good at, but I'm good at enough other things that it kind of makes up for it. Mm-hmm. But with the taking losses badly thing, I don't even think it's as much just like being overconfident and stuff. I think it's a lot people not wanting to think that they're not good. Mm-hmm. And I only get this because, so I have a close friend, I'm not going to reveal their name, but I was talking to them once and they were like, you know, I want to play at GPs. I want to play at SCGs. You know, what do I have to do? Like, first, I'm just not winning. I think I'm just getting really unlucky or whatever. Or they came to me and they said they wanted to play at GPs and SCGs. I then talked to them a little while later and they're talking about how they're just not winning right now. It's really unfair. Their opponents are like cheating and, you know, the random luck gods are not being kind to them.
Yeah.
And I sat them down and had a conversation with them. I don't know if this is the correct thing to do. It probably isn't for everybody. But I was just like, hey, man, the reason you're not winning is just because you're not that good yet. And that's okay. Not everyone's that good. And everyone has to work to get there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like being honest with yourself about like how good or bad you are, I think really helps justify the losses.
Yeah, so true. So what has been your worst Magic moment? Because every player has their ups and downs along the way that are unique to each player. So what was your low and what did you learn from that?
My low Magic-wise? Yeah, it was probably... I already told the story earlier about like how I basically had Lethal mm-hmm. in an SCG. And it was going to be the first SCG I ever cashed. And I missed. But I don't think that was the biggest learning thing for me. So the biggest milestone for me actually is vaguely to do with Magic, but is really like it really kind of shaped who I am as a person. And so I'll start the story by saying I played with a team at like SCG Richmond Team Sealed way back in 2013 or 2015 or something like that, like 4 years ago. And we did very well. We top eighted, then we top four, and then we lost in the top four. And we wanted to run it back for a Grand Prix. And I was in Massachusetts doing some cooking. I was on Cape Cod. Or not in Massachusetts, but I was in Cape Cod doing cooking because I was in culinary school and I was doing an internship. And there was a tournament in Seattle, Washington. And I had committed to go. I had committed to go with the team. There were a bunch of very cheap flights I could take. And I just kind of like kept delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. And I never booked the flight. And I ended up canceling like 2 weeks before the tournament. And I just remember like feeling terrible, feeling really upset with myself, like really letting all these guys down. And that was kind of the biggest moment for me, like growing and learning as a person, even though it might have not been directly correlated to Magic. It had to do with like the people involved in Magic. And I was still super young at this time. I was like 21 or whatever, but. Or maybe even 20, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so I had not really like experienced this before. I just learned to drive a car. I'd kind of been like on my own, but not really most of my life. I'd never taken a big trip like this on my own. And I just kind of let things slip and I didn't really put my priorities straight. And I kind of let a bunch of people down that were my friends. And so, yeah, I don't know. That was probably like the biggest learning moment. You could say.
So I can see, like you just mentioned, a lot of lessons rolled in to one, like you said, like the prioritizing, the, you know, that lesson of, oh, like this is what it feels like to let people down and not wanting to do that again. So like you said, I can see that shaping you. And yeah, there's a lot, you know, rolled up into that. And so obviously, while that is, you know, at the time was probably a terrible experience and whatnot, but now looking back on it, it's probably one that you're grateful that you have, you know, and probably not grateful that it happened, that you let the people down, but you're grateful that you have that experience and you learn from it and you're able to be different now because of it.
Yeah. And even just like in the last 3 months, I've taken 3 really big magic trips. I went to Toronto and DC, and I'm going to Warsaw in November, and I'm going to Providence this weekend. And for all of them, I had to coordinate with people like where we're staying, where we're living, whatever. And just like figuring all that out is so much easier now that I've gone through that experience. Now that I've been like, okay, this is exactly what you don't do.
Yeah.
Doing it is so much easier. Yeah. So I'm grateful to that experience, even though it sucked.
Exactly. So on the flip side of our highs, what has been your proudest magic moment to date?
Oh, my proudest magic moment. My proudest magic moment was, I think, and maybe this is just recency bias, I have no idea, but I don't know, I do have an idea, it's probably recency bias, but about 2 months ago, right after Hour of Devastation came out, 2.5 months ago-ish, I was on Twitch the first Friday that the set was released, so right as they were playing an SCG, and I had like 870 viewers or something. I just had some huge view count that I've never had before. Like, obviously I've touched 500 before and 600, but I never been like near 1,000. I remember 1,000 live viewers. And it was because of the SCG, and a lot of people are like signing onto Twitch before the SCG to kind of watch something. But that was just a huge moment where I was like, oh my God, this is real. I made it. I might be able to make a living off of this. These people aren't leaving, so that must mean they kind of like what they're watching. Like that was a really big moment for me.
That's awesome. Oh, that is really, really neat. That is really, really neat. Well, yeah, you're obviously sticking with it. Consistency as a content creator is, you know, half the battle. And so you'll get there. You know, that's really neat. And so while that might've been a spike, I'm assuming that maybe your highs, you know, were a little, or your normal was a little higher after that. And, you know, you just keep it up and soon that might be normal. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. So you mentioned a couple of events that you have coming up, one of which is this weekend, which will be in the past for when people are listening. What are the different formats that you have coming up, and what is your plan? Like, how do you prepare for events? Tell us what that looks like for you.
All right. So I have everything coming up. I'm playing Grand Prix Providence, which is Team Sealed. I'm playing GP Warsaw on November like 10th or something. That's standard. I'm playing GP Lyon and GP Madrid. I think one of them is those as Team Constructed and the other one is Modern. So I basically have every possible Grand Prix format coming up.
So that's fun.
Yeah, it's a smorgasbord of Grand Prix, if you will.
So let's pick one of the team ones, because we don't get to talk about that often. How do you prepare for a team event?
Yeah, so team events are interesting. There are a lot of politics involved. But basically what you're trying to do when you get on a team is you're trying to put yourself on a team with people who are, one, of a similar skill level, but two, whose interests align. If you are a competitive spiky player like me and you are going to the tournament in hopes of top aiding and making money, but you also want to say hi to your community members and, you know, meet and greet a bunch of people and say hi to people that subscribe to your channel and whatever, then I'm going to want to align with people who – I'm going to want to team with people whose interests are similar. So it makes sense that I am teaming with 2 other streamers that are also going for similar reasons to meet members of their community and stuff, but are also very spiky. And so this way, we'll have like a meet and greet after the tournament. You know, we'll get to talk Twitch and Twitch strategy and all these things. But we also know that since we're on Twitch, we're going to be practicing a lot. We're going to have a lot of practice for this tournament, and we all want to do very well and are capable of doing very well. So that's kind of the most important thing for team tournaments, is choosing your teammates.
Yeah.
And I don't have to choose other Twitch streamers to team with. It's just an example of people whose interests align with mine.
Yeah.
I could very easily just choose 2 friends who are very competitive, who don't mind you know, me being interrupted sometimes and are just like, who like me, who want to hang out with me, who I want to hang out with, who are fairly competitive. I could definitely team with those people as well. But yeah, choosing people whose interests align with yours is 98% of preparing for a team GP. The other 2% is actual practice. If I'm going to a limited GP, I want to play limited. If I'm going to a constructed GP, I want our team to choose our decks and then me play my deck. I might even want to, if I'm going to a constructed GP, have some reps in with my teammates' deck so that I can give advice on mulligans and sideboarding and such. But beyond playing, which I think everybody is prepared to do when they go to a Grand Prix and is like the very obvious thing, choosing your teams for team Grand Prix is entirely it. If you hurt, okay, this is the other thing. If you hurt someone's feelings at a team Grand Prix, like getting a team, they weren't really your friend anyways and probably weren't the best teammate. You know,
like, people, oh, why didn't you go with me or whatever?
Why didn't you choose me?
Yeah.
I asked you 2 months ago to be on my team. Why did you say no, or why did you team with these other guys? It's like, if they can't realize that, if they can't realize that you're not someone that's good for them, or they're not someone that's good for you, like, you don't need them on your team, because there's going to be a time where you're 3-1, your opponent or your friend like punts a game and you're like, oh my god, are we going to be 3-2 and like almost out of this tournament? And you don't want to be thinking, oh my god, what if I just had my other friend, this other dude, play instead of this guy? We could win right now. You know, you don't want to be thinking that. You want to be thinking you have the best players that you're capable of having next to you. You guys are going to work well, and you don't have to worry about them. Those are the things you want to be thinking. So yeah, if you have any worries about anybody being on your team, just don't let them be on your team.
Just dump again. No, cool. Yeah. So in the last few minutes, can't let you off the hook without asking, what is the biggest mistake that you see players make, and then how can we avoid that mistake?
The biggest mistake I see players make and how they can avoid that. That's a pretty loaded question. Jeez. What's okay? While I accumulate my answer, what's the best answer you've ever received?
I mean, we've had answers all over the board, from just things that people have observed in games to decisions they make out of game. my favorite was recently. Somebody's like, "Oh, I saw Joel Larson do this one thing." He specifically picked out. Joel Larson, he misread the the points or whatever, and so he thought he could draw, and he drew himself out of the top eight. And normally, I mean, most people give bad mulligan decisions or whatever. And so it was just funny. This one guest thought I meant like a specific like one person's mistake. I just let it ride, but it was kind of funny.
That's hilarious.
So just in general, you're sitting across a table or you're on the other side of the screen on Magic, and what have you observed people that in general, Magic players could do this better?
Yeah, in general, I think Magic players can prepare way better.
Okay.
And I think this mostly comes down to hustle and just trying really hard. And you're obviously a fan of this because you are an entrepreneur in a lot of ways, in the same ways that I am. And you kind of know that if you want to grow your business, you have to work really hard. And the harder you work, the more your business is going to grow. And that's the exact same way Magic works. The harder you work at Magic, the better your Magic game is going to get and the better you're going to get. And I think a lot of people, they'll be like, yeah, I'm really good. I'm going to win this Grand Prix. Oh, how much did you prepare? Oh, I played like 3 FNMs. It's like, I'm not quite sure that's enough.
Yeah.
When Brad Nelson, who's winning GPs, is playing like 40 hours this week and you're playing 3 FNMs.
Yeah.
I would reconsider how invested you are, So I think it has a lot to do with just effort. I also see it all the time on Twitch, where, someone will be like, oh my god, how'd you get this many viewers? I signed in last week, or I signed in 3 months ago, and you had this many viewers. And it's like, I've been streaming the whole time. Where have you been?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was 3 months ago, and I've been doing this every day since then. So,
right, and a lot of times it's other streamers who want to say that stuff, right? And it's like, you're another streamer, and you haven't streamed either. Or yesterday, I had someone come in my channel, and they're like, oh my god, you're on. I'm so excited I get to watch you. How's it going, my friend? I said, good. How's your stream? I let them plug their stream times, and they were streaming twice this week. It's the first week of a new set. The most viewers that will ever be on Twitch this year are on Twitch right now watching Magic, and you're not streaming? You're streaming twice this week?
Yeah.
It's like, how?
Yeah. Love it. Oh, man. tap into that passion. That's good. That's good stuff right there. Man, I think that we're going to have like a round two with Sam Rubin, because there's a lot more that we can dive into and can talk about, and definitely look forward to that. Best of luck in your upcoming events. We can recap some of those the next time you come around. And I do want to say here on the show publicly, thank you. You have been the mind behind and the puppet master of the MTG Pro Tutor sealed leagues that we do for the Prodigies. And it's been a lot of fun like refining that. We're right now in the Ixalan one. And it's really cool refining that process, making it even better. But it all came about from you really putting the legwork. So thank you very much, Sam, for doing that. So that's it's been a pleasure working with you there. So
are signups live when this goes out or no?
So let's see, as of this recording, they are up, and then this episode goes out on the 10th, which is right after signups were signups closed on the 8th. So this episode goes live right afterwards. But I can still thank you for all your work. So anybody who's listening to this, you can join us on the next league. We do one per set. So Prodigies out there, I want to remind you, if you want to connect with Sam, you can find him on Twitter at SamBall49 and, of course, on Twitch at twitch.tv/SamBall49. So don't miss him there. So, Sam, as we wrap things up for now, because we'll definitely have you back on someday, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said you want to emphasize, something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
Some parting piece of guidance. So it's probably just what I just said, which is like whatever you want in life, including Magic. I know this is a Magic focused podcast, but Sean obviously with his interview style brings in people that might not just be dedicated to playing Magic, but are also dedicated to other things in their life, whether it be a business they're running or children they have or a friendship or a relationship. It's just like if you want something to be good, you have to work at it. And I don't know why I'm all about this. Maybe it's because of my pessimistic like look on life that I just talked about earlier, where I never think I'm very good at stuff. But because of that, I'm always working to get better. And so maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I don't really know. But yeah, if you want to be good at something, you have to work at it. Like don't come to me and be like, hey, what deck should I play for this Grand Prix? I'm very excited to go. And then when I ask you how much time you have to test, say like 2 days before or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. That's fine. You can go and you can have fun, but have your expectations, you know, manage your expectations accordingly. If you want to really go and do something, be prepared to work for it. I guess that's what I would say.
Well, Sam, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for your time, for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. I also want to thank you again for your Sealed League help and best of luck in growing your Twitch channel, and say may you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Sounds good, my friend. Thank you very much. This was fun.
There you have it, Mr. Sam Rubin. Episode 242 is all wrapped up. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the show. And Prodigies, what a great guest, huh? Isn't that really neat to hear his story and just how persistence grows an audience, right? And he's doing a really good job. He's running his Twitch channel. He's really influential in the leagues that we do. And it's really cool to see a Prodigy kind of rise up in the ranks of the Magic community and make a name for himself. That's really neat and I think inspiring. So as you know, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Sam Rubin. And before we close out, I want to say congratulations again to Huey Jensen for winning the World Championship and to past guest Javier Dominguez for being the runner-up. For getting second place in the World Championship, that is awesome, Javier. Good job. Another congrats to Chiri Alegrucci, who is the winner of the patron-exclusive giveaway for September. You will definitely be getting a Ixalan bundle sent your way, compliments of Paragon City Games. And a final reminder, if you are interested in becoming a patron of the show, if you have found any value in these episodes and love connecting with these guests and feel like you want to give back, you can do so at Patreon. mtgprotutor.com/Patreon is where you can go to learn more about that. So thank you so much, everybody, for your support, for listening, for your interaction on the Facebook group. Love doing this. Can't wait to connect with you again. And until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.